Verminiosa an Verminiosa kai mama bakala yunoto soa pie vero masamaya mir vero mosiano kalamike vikecinia. Come before me through my son and worship and know that I am well pleased with that. I have given you my word, my son, and the gift of the Holy Spirit so that you might be able to come to me and speak with me on a private level, on a father-to-child level. Never forget this. There's nothing that I won't do for you. I am your father, your creator.
Amen. Thank you for those words. Tonight we want to do a sharing on a different perspective of lessons from the book of Nehemiah. And with the Rotherham translation, it's going to really make things easy to compare and see some things that I've never seen before. Maybe you guys have never seen before, too, a perspective. Before we go to the book of Nehemiah, which is page 479 in the Rotherham, which is, I think it's 479. Yeah. This perspective on Nehemiah, what I want to share is something that I never really realized. Anybody remember what Nehemiah did? Made him famous?
Hey.
Built the wall. Built the wall. He was a cupbearer, he was a governor, and he built the wall. How did he do it? And so the focus on this teaching is gonna focus on something that I've never seen before. I hope it'll bless you guys. How did he build the wall? We're not going to turn to John chapter 20, but at the end of the gospel called John 20, Jesus Christ asked Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" How many times? Three times, right?
Yeah.
Peter's like, he's exhausted. Feed my sheep. Tell him, Peter, what to do. And then what happens next, right after this?
What about this guy?
Peter goes, what's he have to do?
Oh, yeah.
And Peter's saying what probably most people are thinking.
Yeah.
He's speaking up. And each one of you are called to do something that's difficult that you might not want to do. And if you're looking at the people around you, you might not be able to finish it. Or you're making your life way too hard. It could be running your ministry. It could be your marriage. What's he doing? And Jesus Christ told Peter, you mind your own. If I tell him to sit here and do nothing, what is it to you? You be following me. And so the lesson with Peter, easy to pick on Peter, but that's all of us. Are you good at what you do because the people around you build you up? If that's true, you're weak. Because that could be easily taken away. The king Saul, he got his strength because he gave the people what they wanted. And what happened? He fell. And so King David, what did he do that was different? Wherever you go, I'm with you. It's just David was his one-on-one. And because of the Rotherham, we're going to look at Nehemiah, and we're going to see a relationship that whenever he had a hardship going through this book, it would show his prayer going right to Yahweh. He said, and we'll just, this should be a quick sharing. And we're going to glean through here. And just to do an exercise, here's a hardship, and actually the easiest way to do it is in the Rotherham, when Nehemiah is doing a prayer, the type is going to be in italics. So the easy way to do this exercise is look for the italics, then go back up to say, why is he praying? So it's like but what he was able to do, and I got to hear this recently. This guy was being encouraged to build a wall, and the people he was not a literal wall, a figurative wall. His ministry, and that's every one of you has your own ministry. What are you called to do? You know, if your gratification comes from me, then you're not going to be as successful as it could be. If your gratification goes this way, well, then you could be like a Nehemiah, and that's what he did. And it's the same way with your lifting or whatever you do. If you're obedient because your family is nice to you, it's still good. But if you're obedient because you remember he sees you, and you're doing it for him, Yahweh and his son, you could possibly be building a wall like Nehemiah. And how did Nehemiah build this wall? these people are a mess. This guy's got to do everything. And just over and over and over again, he sacrifices everything for these people. And then it turns out they married unbelievers, and they're not taking care of the priest, and they leave for like 12 years or something. And he comes back, and it's worse mess. He's got to grab people by their beards, yank them out of it. Nehemiah didn't build the wall for the people. He built the wall, and we're going to get to see a relationship that he had with Yahweh. He keeps looking up, and so with this exercise, I'm not trying to turn a little bit. You go down here, and you see right there, the first italicized. I beseech
chapter
you.
Chapter one.
And so what you can do is you will go backwards to the top, and what does it say right above verse one? You guys see Nehemiah permit to visit Jerusalem. And so what's happening here, it appears right here, Nehemiah is getting a calling, do something. And this could be President Trump run for office. This could be Malay. This could be Veronica moving to the United States. Are you kidding me? And what does he do with this pressure? He's being called to do something. It's your ministry. It's your calling. It's your marriage. It's your business. You guys apply it. What does he do? Now we're just going to read this and focus on this relationship Nehemiah had with Yahweh. You go rebuild this wall. Now if somebody would read, volunteer to read just italics. And if you, go ahead.
I beseech thee, O Yahweh, God of the heavens, the great and fearful God, keeping the covenant and loving kindness for them who love him and keep his commandments. Let, I pray thee, thine ears be attentive and thine eyes open to hearken unto the prayer of this servant, of thy servant, which I am praying before thee now, day and night, for the sons of Israel, thy servants, and making confession concerning the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have committed against thee. Both I and the house of my father have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the regulations which thou didst command Moses thy servant. Remember, I pray thee, that the word which thou didst command Moses thy servant, saying, if ye are faithful, I will...
Unfaithful.
What?
Unfaithful.
Oh, sorry. Big mistake. I will scatter you among the peoples. When ye return unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though it should be that ye have been driven out unto the uttermost part of the heavens, from thence will I gather them and bring them into the place that I have chosen to make a habitation for my name there. Okay, somebody else.
They therefore are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy firm hand. I beseech thee, O my Adonai, let, I pray thee, thine ear be attentive unto thy prayer of thy servant, and unto the prayer of thy servants who delight to revere thy name. And, I can't read the next one, prosper, I pray thee, thy servant today, and grant him, this is a word called Raham, before this man. Nehemiah knows that he is to go before the king. If you go down to the, you don't have to look there, but see the last sentence? Then feared I exceedingly. Nehemiah is going to die for this cause. Not literally. But this is Abraham being asked to take Isaac up. The difference with Nehemiah is I don't know of any other book where it's going to have this one-on-one dialogue. David, there's a lot in that. If you go through the Psalms, but that's a little bit different. This, I never see anything like in 1 Samuel or Chronicles where it stops. Yahweh, remember me. Yahweh, here I am. I'm not perfect, but I'm showing up for you, not for them, because these people that he's getting ready to go rebuild this wall has nothing to do with them. It's because, and it's like even Yahweh said that, I'm giving you this land not because of your holiness, but because they're wicked. And here's Nehemiah going, he goes, give me a Raham, and he does that. What a great exercise for each one of us before a major thing, because who's writing this?
Yahweh.
Yahweh did. And it could be that Yahweh's waiting for each one of us to go down and learn how to do this. Present your case. In the book of Job, getting to read the poetry within it. And if we have time, I want to show you something about the book of Job too. But it talks about that Job presented his case. Yeah. And if you look, to present your case means, Your Honor, here I am, this is my property, this is the law, here's the rule, here's what happened, here's my witnesses. And the judge is going to say, okay. And through the scriptures, we are encouraged to present our case. And here he is with this intimate relationship. This is the beginning of the building of the wall. Can you imagine the angels getting to see this? This is how you start. Mm-hmm. Not just, I got the okay, I'm going to go. That's not what he did.
Yeah.
Nehemiah, before he built the wall, he built a relationship. The foundation here. Here I am.
That's so neat.
We're going to do this together. And then you could just start going through here. I don't see any italicized. I don't see it here. I think this is going to go all the way to chapter 4. You don't see any prayers until we get to...
Yeah, 4-4 you do.
4-4?
Yeah.
Thank you. Perfect. Thank you. Yeah. You, so... 4-4, perfect. There's a prayer. I missed one. We go back up. Why is he going to Yahweh? What's the context?
The sarcasm of Sanballat and Tobiah opposed by prayer.
He's being mocked.
Yeah.
And here comes this mocking and the sarcasm and all the rest of this stuff. What does he do? In his prayer closet. There's this relationship, working on this intimacy. I think about a husband and a wife, my mother and my father. What are we going to do? I don't know. Can we do this? Can't do that. Can't kill them. There are kids now. What are you going to do? I don't know.
It's the wall.
Yeah, so one of my sisters, the rebellious one, would sneak out every night. Every night. What are you going to do? And Dad's like, should we handcuff her to the bed? So she can't leave because she's breaking out.
I thought if there's a fire, she might get killed.
Yeah, but the house catches on fire, she's going to burn. But here's a dialogue between a husband and wife. What are you going to do? I don't know. And Yahweh's looking for a relationship with all of us. And there's this, hopefully what I'm hoping to do is introduce to you guys this intimate relationship with Nehemiah and Yahweh. And then if you get some time to read this, these people don't deserve anything. I would not do it for these people. And if Nehemiah did not build his wall for these people, he built it because Yahweh asked him to do it. And if Yahweh would have told him to quit, he would have quit. And there's going to be lawsuits, and things are going to start, and they're going to stop, they're going to court. And I believe, on a side note, Nehemiah, if he was looking, when are we going to get this thing done, he would have quit.
Yeah.
He's like, no, today, I build the wall. Because there is a time when it gets stopped because of legal things. We're never going to get this thing going. What's the point of this? I quit. I'm never finishing this thing. I have a real problem with finishing things. If I can't finish it, I don't even want to start it. And if I'm close to finishing it, I'm going to finish it. And that's not good if Yahweh tells me to shut up. Yeah. Oh, I'm like this close. But here this is. Nehemiah was able to finish it with that because his objective was an intimate relationship. So they're being mocked. And let's just take a look at this guy's heart in verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4, Sanballat's mocking him. Hear, O Elohim, for we have become a contempt and turn thou back their reproach against their own head. And give them back as a prey the land of thy captivity. And I'm going to pause there just for a second. Hold right there. Yahweh, the Democrat Party, the Socialists, the Chinese Communists, and all Islam mock you. But we rebuke them. And we know you are an Elohim that is not mocked. And we thank you for them to fall on their own swords. Verse 5, and do not cover their iniquity and their sin before thee. Let it not be blotted out, for they have caused vexation before them who are building. With these elections, with what's happening in Argentina, these things, vent. Thank you, Yahweh. Don't blot out their sins. Let these people that mock you, that are putting perverts in Disneyland or with these other things, let them not be mocked. It is noted. Thank you. But here he is. And then, okay, then we'll go on to, I think, chapter 5. If I miss one, point it out like Dad just did. Let's see.
Nehemiah 5. 614.
Yes, you go to 614. Perfect. Thank you. So you go down to 614. You're going to see one. And if you go back up to what does it say right above chapter 6? What is the obstacle? And I'm not going to get like with what I'm saying is the obstacles and stuff. There could be things in between the obstacles and the prayers, but this is more like an introduction to say, here's one of the obstacles. And how does he deal with it? He's going to go back, remember me, remember me, remember these things. But above chapter 6, Sanballat and the enemy seeking a conference and hiring a false prophet to intimidate Nehemiah are yet further baffled. Okay, here they are. They're going to go, are you kidding me? And what does he do? Would somebody read the prayer?
14.
Yes, please.
Have remembrance, O my Elohim, of Tobiah and Sanballat, according to their doings. Moreover, also, Noadiah, the prophetess, and the rest of the prophets who would have put me in fear.
Here we go. Yahweh, remember the voter fraud that happened in 2020. Remember the voter ballots. And you were stolen. You were robbed because all this belongs to you. And you are a God of justice and righteousness. Remember the wickedness that they did and they are continuing to do. Remember these things and do not blot out their sins. And Father, we thank you that going forward, every fraudulent ballot triples your ballots. We go right back to it. We watch Fox News, then we go right back to it. We go to Newsmax, we go back to it. We go to YouTube, what's happening with Argentina, and then we go right back to him, and we start building our wall. Now we'll go to chapter 8. This is just an interesting side note. This is not with the prayer. But here's Nehemiah. Would somebody read chapter 8, verse 16 and 17?
So the people went forth and brought in and made themselves booths, everyone upon his roof and in their courts and in the courts of the house of Elohim, and in the broad place of the water gate and in the broad place of the gate of Ephraim, and all the convocation of them who were returned out of the captivity made booths and dwell in booths, for since the days of Joshua, son of Nun, had not the sons of Israel done so unto these days.
So we just pause right there. Did they celebrate the festival of booths? Yeah. Did they dwell in booths? Mm-hmm. Says it right there. They didn't dwell in the booths. Since Yeshua, son of Nun. What happened? I don't know. But when you have a businessman, not a priest, going through the law, it says to do this. Well, nobody else dwelt in the booths. And what did they do? Do it! Do it! And so that's just interesting. What's going on with that? And now I go to chapter 9, I think it's 17. Can be the next prayer.
Now that's just not a prayer. That's just a...
Yeah, it is. It says it could be the second.
Yeah, but it's in italics.
Yeah, but...
That is a refrain. He does also the refrain of Yahweh.
Okay.
Exodus 34:6.
Okay, so the refrain, it's going to be a similar context. But thou, Eloah, a forgiveness, gracious, full of raham, slow to anger. Okay, so that's a refrain. So
yeah,
that's a good point. Now we'll turn to chapter 13. And there's, I think there's more than this. Chapter 13, verse... Let's see. Okay, 14. So you go to 13, verse 14. Look at this. Isn't this great? We're getting to the end of the book. And his adversity is finally over. No. No. Verse 14, what does he say? Remember me. So let's go back. What's the context? And we go, all right, read right above chapter 10. After all these things, the book is almost over. They neglected the Levites. And so I believe this is, he leaves, I believe for like 12 years, he goes back to his job, which we believe was Queen Esther and her husband, Cambyses. And then he comes back and there's no Levites anywhere. You guys were out in captivity because you don't do the law. Here's the law, get to it. And where's the Levites? Well, they weren't being fed, so the Levites are out there. And here, and Would you want to quit? You wouldn't be. You wouldn't. You would not continue for this people. I wouldn't. Yeah. And what does he do? Remember me, O my Elohim, concerning this, and do not wipe out my hased, which I have done for the house of my Elohim, and for those keeping charge thereof. Yeah, and then what's this? What's the next adversity? Right underneath
the Sabbath suppressed.
Now they doing all that. Yeah, what it finishes that now on the Sabbath.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you want these people don't deserve this place? Yahweh is a holy God. He can't live in sin and wickedness. And here these people are so rebellious. Who would finish this? But he didn't do it for them. And then here it goes. Now they're trading. And then go all the way to 22. And then look at this. Look how he finishes. Would somebody read that?
This also?
Yeah, this also. Remember me. Remember to me, O my Elohim, and have pity on me according to the abundance of thy hased. I think it would be a good practice for all of us, to the heavy things all of us are called to do. There's many positions in the body of Christ, and to practice to say, remember me. Remember that I did these things for you. And I practiced a little bit of that as I was reading this. And I just as I started, I just saying, remember this, guess what happened? Words started coming out.
Mm.
And it was organized. And I was like, wow, I feel really good. Remember me, Yahweh, for the website that I started. Remember that I gave these things. Remember these literature and how many people I sent up. I did all these things. I remembered nameless. Remember me, O Yahweh, how many hours I have prayed and walked and spoken tongues in an intercession. Remember how many hours I was on the phone ministering to people. Remember me, O Yahweh, all the times I held my tongue and I prayed for my family when they were in fights. Remember me, O Yahweh, when people could not see that I was called to do something great and I did not fight back. Remember, and then practice this thing. And when we get towards the end of it, let's see here. Oh, right under that, remember me. What's the next thing happens?
In 29.
Yeah, verse 20. Let's see the footnote 20. After he says, remember me, O my Elohim. Mixed marriage is denounced. Now he finds out people are marrying Ashdod, all the rest of these things. And here, in verse 25, he's pulling hair out of their... I pulled out their hair. I put them on an oath. He grabs, and this is towards the end. Why is he doing this? He's not doing it to become popular with people. But somebody else noticed. And his job... Could you pull people's hair out of their face?
Yeah.
At a church? I could do it to an unbeliever. I could do it to a Muslim or something, but could you go into a church and grab somebody by their beard or something? Like, I don't know if I could do that. But in this call, in this situation, Nehemiah was called to do something. And like, holy moly, he did it. And after he fought that battle, look what happens next. Verse 29, would somebody read that?
Remember them, O my Elohim, on account of the defilings of the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites.
And so he's building the wall, and what I wanted here, look at this intimate relationship that I think that all of us should be practicing.
Mm-hmm.
To pause and not just say thank you, but to practice remember. What an act of faith too, because if he is a just Elohim, that which you sow, you will reap.
Yeah.
Is he blessed when you go, remember? Remember, O Elohim, remember Yahweh, that I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this. And some of the greatest ministers that I've gotten to read their testimonies, that's what they did. George Mueller, when there was times where there's winters, you have 300 orphans, and they're going to freeze to death. They got no food. George Mueller's not asking for anything. But now you don't have coal. Just to keep them warm. This is not asking for a Hawaiian vacation or a cruise or a new truck or something like that. What is it? And he said, if you read through his book, he gets on his knees and he says, remember your word. Remember that we have done this. Remember, and just think about this relationship. And think about Christ sitting next to his Father watching you go, remember this, remember that. And that's somebody that really works on a relationship. And then the conclusion of this book, what's the last sentence?
Remember me. Oh, my name for good.
Wow! How did I ever miss that? The building of the wall, recently as I'm looking at this, is one man's relationship with Yahweh. Now, Ezra is in there. Ezra is the priest, and there's other people. But if there's anything that's really focused on, is this relationship. I've run my race. I've kept my course. You know, you ever heard of the book of Ephesians?
Yeah.
You know, everybody in Ephesus rejected Paul at the end? Nothing left? If Paul did it for the people of Ephesus, he would have just said, what's the point of this? What's my legacy?
Yeah.
But that was not the point. The Apostle Paul said, I want to know Christ and the fellowship of his suffering. I've run my race. I've kept my course. And my God will do all these things. Just one other interesting side note, just perspectives on this. This is going to be on the book of Job. Anybody know off the top of their head how many chapters are in the book of Exodus?
50 or 60.
40.
Okay.
40 chapters in the book of Exodus. And I'm not making any emphatic statements. Whose life is the book of Exodus about?
Moses.
Well, it's about Yahweh, but if there's from birth, it's Moses. How many chapters are there about Moses?
40.
His whole life, 40 chapters. Okay. How many Stephen have one? Okay, so Moses. I Googled it and said, how many chapters are written about David? And it said 60, but you know, Moses is really in Numbers and his other stuff. You just kind of get an idea of this. Okay, so 40 chapters about one person's life is a lot of text, right?
Yeah.
You go to the book of Job, you think it's about Job. The book of Job is not about Job. If you go there, if you just turn there, it's just Job right before Psalms. And it's like, how can I... A whole other person, just go to page 2 or 4. 500. Go right to 500. The story of Job in the book of Job is 1, chapter 1. Chapter 2. And then chapter 3 is the beginning of, in my opinion, a court case. 1 and 2, and the very last chapter is about about Job. Everything, you know how many chapters the book of Job is? 40. Out of the 40 chapters, there's three and a half chapters are actually about Job's life. What's the rest of it about?
A lesson.
An argument.
Oh, okay.
A court case. This guy says this. This guy says this. This guy says this. It's not that you start reading about this, and here they're talking about Yahweh this, and if you did this, you did this. You know, like, look, this is like reading a court case. It's not about the life of somebody. Job is really like, there's two or three chapters about it. Actually, Job, he started, things are gone, now what? What happened? And then you got this attorney comes in, and then Job says this, and this guy says this, and his wife says this, and it's just kind of, it's just like a whole other perspective going, I've never seen that before.
Huh.
Okay, well, I'll pray, and I'll give a prophecy. It could be a good way to start a conversation if you look at it. You say, what's the book of Job about? Well, it's about Job. You say, well, I mean, kind of. It's about an argument. People arguing. Arguing doesn't mean like fighting. It means presenting a case. Mm-hmm. And there's so much beautiful poetry in it. You're reading, and even the enemies of Job, in my opinion, the story of Job is innocent suffering. It's like a parable. And he's suffering, and everybody's blaming. You had to do something wrong, but it's just, but Father, thank you for tonight, and we thank you. Remember, O Adonai Yahweh Elohim of hosts, you have never forgotten a thing. Remember every teardrop that we in this room have had. from obedience and from satisfaction. Remember every seed that we have sown. Remember every time that we have chosen you. And encourage your servants, encourage us to look upwards and receive strength the way Nehemiah did. Because at the end of this life, when your son returns for us, all that will matter is what we did for you and your son. So we thank you for these things and for these words. Know, my children, that I understand how difficult life is, and I understand how difficult this world is, and the many messes. But I want you to know that I will help you through all of it. But you got to look up. And you have to put on joy. If you put on joy, you are putting on faith. And when you are putting on faith, you make things easier. Because everything that is around you, all that you see and experience, whether it's the mountains or the oceans or the stars that you admire, I put there by faith. So when you clothe yourself in joy and look up, because I don't forget, and if you really, really focus, and if you believe that you are doing these things for me and I am not going to forget, then you will receive joy. Because I will reward you. And because I am proud of you. You are my children. And I am whom I have chosen. And I am well pleased. Finish your race. Not 5 years from now. Not 10 years. Don't think about your legacies. One day at a time, and do it with me.
Amen. All right.